Let us turn this morning then to our scripture reading, picking up in our studies in the book of Joshua. And so we'll read again the opening chapter of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, first of the historical books in the Old Testament. Our focus this morning will be in verse 10 through to the end of 18, but we'll read all of the chapter just now, Joshua chapter 1. Let us hear God's own holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, true and faithful word. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, All that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Amen. May God bless that reading of his word. O congregation, I trust you have your Bibles open before you. When we do, bring God's word before you, and you'll be following along in the passage that we'll be considering this morning. Well, brothers and sisters, a few weeks ago we began a new series of studies entitled Lessons from the Book of Joshua. And we saw then how Joshua and the people of Israel were being called by God to finally leave their wilderness wanderings behind them, and they were now to go in and possess their possessions. They were to take possession of their God-given inheritance, the land which God had promised all along to give them, and which they therefore had a legal claim and right to. And this is really the central theme of the book of Joshua, the possession of the promised land, which is why the word land is found 87 times in this book. Because the book of Joshua, it provides us with a historical record of Israel's entering and conquering and claiming the promised land. And as such, it has much to teach us today. For the book of Joshua, it's really a book about new beginnings for the people of God. For God's people here, they were being called to leave their old life in the wilderness firmly behind them. They were to move into the place that God always intended them to be in. Because remember, the whole reason why God had redeemed them, whole reason he brought them out of bondage in Egypt to begin with, it was so that he might bring them into the land of promise where they could enjoy a whole new beginning, begin to live life on an entirely new plane. And just like the people of God here in the Old Testament, many of God's people today need to experience a new beginning. Because you see, like the Israelites, God only has one place that he intends for Christians to live after he delivers them from bondage. And we are called to put the spiritual wilderness that we can find ourselves in so often because of our disobedience and unbelief behind us so that we can press into the promised land that Christ has secured for us and experience the kind of life that God wants all of his people to know and enjoy, a life of spiritual victory and abundance and blessing. The very life that Christ himself said he came to give his people. Because you see, Jesus Christ, who is our Joshua, the captain of our salvation, he came to progressively lead us into a life of continual conquest and victory over our spiritual enemies, so that we can go on to claim our God-given spiritual inheritance and partake of all the rich treasures of that inheritance. Because as we said last time, God has now blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And he has even now given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And therefore, there's no reason whatever for any one of us to be living like a spiritual pauper. And yet, is that not so often how we can go through life? Spinning our wheels, going round in circles, as it were, in a spiritual wilderness. Because we are failing to press deeper and deeper into the kingdom of God, to live in the joy and the fullness of the life that Christ came to bring every one of his children into possession of. And you see, friends, we need to look at our own lives then, as we study this book together. We need to ask ourselves, where are we living, spiritually speaking? Because the events recorded in the book of Joshua, they have to do with the life of God's people, where they're living in the present. You see, the passage of the Israelites over the Jordan and their entry into the promised land, their ongoing possession of it, it's not meant to be a picture of the believer's entrance into heaven at death. Friends, there won't be any conflict or enemies or battles to fight in heaven as are present here in the book of Joshua. Not at all. And yes, of course there is a rest that remains for the people of God in heaven, where they will cease from all of their works. Absolutely. But that is not what is being depicted here in the book of Joshua. For you see, friends, Canaan and the promised land, it's intended to be a symbol, a picture of the victorious Christian life the spiritual rest which can be known by every child of God, exactly where they are at today. And this book is designed to illustrate then how it is that believers can move beyond the old life of a mediocre, monotonous, barren, dull, disappointing, wilderness-type spiritual existence. How they can enter into the true enjoyment of their rich inheritance in Jesus Christ in the here and now. Because you see, it explains how it is that we can claim for ourselves all that we already have in principle in Christ. How we can meet our enemies, every obstacle that stands in the way of possessing and maintaining our possessions, and how we are to overcome them. And thus it is a wonderfully instructive book. It illustrates in very practical terms how we are to claim our riches in Christ, how we are to enjoy the present rest, living and walking each day in the joy of the Lord, an ongoing spiritual victory, as we learn to continually yield our all to Christ in faith and obedience. For as we said last time, one of the things we need to take to heart, faith and obedience, they are the two non-negotiable conditions on which the spiritual success and well-being of every child of God in every age and generation of the church depends. And you see then, all those who would enter into the experience of a richer and a fuller spiritual life, they always have to remember they have something to do as well as something to believe. And while it is true that in Christ we have all that we need for victorious Christian living, we must nevertheless go on to actually possess our inheritance by a walk of faith and obedience, one step at a time and a day at a time. And the victorious Christian life that some people denigrate, it's not a once-for-all triumph that ends all of our problems then. No. As we'll see here in the book of Joshua, victorious Christian life is an ongoing series of conflicts and victories as we defeat one enemy after another, continually claim more of our inheritance through faith and obedience to the glory of God. That's why the eminent Scottish preacher Alexander White used to say, the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. And friends, there is simply no way to get around these timeless spiritual conditions of faith and obedience then, which God has put in place if we want to flourish and advance and mature as Christians. But you see, it's only those who are prepared to meet God on His own terms, who will count the cost of conquest and victory, who will ever enter into all of the good of their spiritual inheritance, begin to live life as God always intended it to be known. And that's God's challenge to all of us then, as we are confronted with the truths that are revealed here in the book of Joshua. Will we heed the call that is here to take possession of all that God is now holding out to us in Christ, and that is there for the taking? Or will some of us simply resign ourselves to meandering through life in a spiritual wilderness, satisfied with less than God's best for us, content to just live out our days, living well below the level of our gospel privileges? Well, friends, that choice is yours and mine. For God will never force anyone to commit to the life that He calls us to here. And yes, there'll always be those who will try to discourage us from even thinking that a life of victory over sin is possible because they have never experienced it. But friends, we're not to bring the teaching of God's Word down to the level of our experience or the experience of others. We're called to bring our experience up to the level of the teaching of God's Word. And friend, if that is your desire, and you're not prepared to simply settle for final victory one day in heaven, but you want to experience God's best for you now, and all of the riches of the inheritance that Christ died to bring you into possession of, then I trust you will pay close attention to what we're meant to learn about victorious Christian living in the present, in this book of Joshua, and that you too will know the joy, the stability, the peace that comes from a life that is committed to acting in faith and obedience to all that God commands. Well, with these background thoughts in mind then, I want to now turn to pick up where we left off last time in the opening chapter of the book of Joshua, taking as our theme Joshua's call to the people. For as you can see, if you look at verses 10 to 11, in response to God's call to Joshua himself, which we looked at last time, Joshua now issues a call to the people here by commanding the officers of the people to pass through the camp. Command the people, saying, prepare for yourself your provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving to you to possess. And then in verses 12 to 15, he speaks specifically to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, calling on them to remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded them back in Numbers chapter 32, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest. He's giving you this land, the land they were presently camped on, where they had decided to settle on the eastern side of Joshua. And therefore, he charges them they were now to keep their commitment that they had made to Moses back then by now passing over the Jordan before their brethren armed, all of their mighty men of valor, to help them, fight alongside of them, until the Lord had given them rest. And they also had taken possession of the land which the Lord their God was giving them. And the first thing we see here in these verses then about this call of Joshua to the people is that it is a call to action. It's a call to the people to act in a unified way on the revelation and promises of God by now getting ready to break camp, by preparing to move out in faith and obedience, to now go in and possess the land that God was going to give them. And it's interesting to observe here just how prompt Joshua himself was in issuing this call to action. Because you see, as soon as Joshua knew what it was that God required of him, he didn't dilly-dally, he didn't procrastinate and delay to perform his duty. No, he acted at once in response to the revealed will of God, and he expected the people to do likewise. And is there not a lesson in that in and of itself for all of us here? That once a duty is discovered and known, it should be discharged immediately. For friends, that is the only safe course of action in life. And the longer we delay, the more reluctant we're likely to become to comply with God's requirements, more likely we are to harden ourselves against them. And friends, when our own duty to God is known then, or we sense the conviction of our conscience, or the promptings of the Holy Spirit inclining us to act, we should always be quick to respond. The language of our hearts ought always to be that of the psalmist David in verse 60 of Psalm 119. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Now that's not to say that obedience to God is always going to be easy. There won't be obstacles and difficulties in the way that must be overcome. More likely than not, that is always going to be the case because we are in a warfare. But friends, we need to have the same mindset that Joshua had here, that he was calling the people to have. For even though he was only too aware of the difficulties and challenges that lay ahead of himself and the people of Israel in their conquest of the land of promise, nevertheless, he was utterly determined to go forward in fulfillment of his calling and to lead the people to do the same. For don't forget that 40 years earlier, Joshua was one of the 12 spies who'd been sent out to search out the land which they were now being called to go in and possess. And so of all people, he was fully aware of what was ahead of them. He knew all about the mighty swelling waters of the Jordan they had to cross. Knew all about the strength of the armies they would yet face. And he knew all about the seemingly invincible giants that dwelt in the land, the great walled cities that looked utterly impregnable to the naked eye. But you see, friends, Joshua was a man of faith. And so he didn't see things from a merely human point of view. And therefore he believed that whatever God had promised, he was able to perform. And so he could rest assured that God would yet open up the way before them. He would give them the victory in his own way and time. And all they needed to concern themselves with at that moment then was their own response of faith and obedience to the clearly revealed will of God. And Joshua's eyes were firmly fixed on the Lord then, and he was content, therefore, to simply leave the details as to how exactly God would orchestrate their passage across the Jordan, how he would lead them to victory in the promised land with God. And friends, we must learn to think and act in the same manner. For far too often is that not our problem when confronted with the difficulty of God's call to us to follow on to know Him and do His will in all things. We get our eyes off the greatness, the majesty, the power, the dominion of our God. We allow ourselves to become fixated on all of the problems and difficulties and giants that we see looming on the horizon. And we worry about all that might befall us if we step out in faith and obedience to God's will. Well, friends, let us learn from the example of Joshua and the people here to take God at His word, to press forward without delay, to do God's bidding, whatever it may be, trusting He is in full control of every situation we can ever find ourselves in, and that He's more than capable of seeing to it that every obstacle in the way of doing His will, it will be taken care of by Himself if we will but commit to going forward in faith and obedience. For friends, what He brings us to, He'll bring us through. Make no mistake about it. And that's why Joshua says to the people here then, within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. He doesn't say to them, well, you may cross over it, or you might attempt to cross over it, but you will cross over it because God is the one who has called you to do so, and He is faithful to keep His word. Well, Joshua was a man of faith then who trusted God to bring His people across the Jordan, to bring them into the promised land. Even though that was the case, he He knew they still had to prepare for the everyday necessities of life. They would need to stay strong for the series of battles that they were about to enter into in order to take possession of the promised land. And so he instructed them to act by preparing provisions for themselves in light of what lay ahead of them. You can see that if you look at verse 11. And so he charged them to make provision. He instructed them to do what God was calling them to. And you see, friends, we see here then the combination of human responsibility and divine sovereignty in action. You see, the fact that God had sovereignly promised to give them the land didn't negate their responsibility to act prudently, to make the necessary preparations for the journey and challenges that lay ahead of them. And it was their responsibility then to heed the call of Joshua here and do what he was commanding. For you see, with divine direction always comes human participation and the divine requirement to fulfill our duties if we expect God to bless us and go before us. For you see, God will never countenance laziness or bless laziness or negligence on the part of his people. And there are many people who want the blessings of heaven to be simply poured into their hearts and into their souls. They want to experience the fullness of their spiritual inheritance in Christ. But they're not prepared to do the work that God calls them to do before that can ever happen. And they wonder why they make so little progress in their Christian life then. They wonder why it is that they experience so little satisfaction in their walk with God. It's because they simply refuse to take seriously the demands of the Christian life, the conditions of spiritual growth and maturity. And friends, if you and I want to advance in our own walk with the Lord, we want to see the blessings that God has in store for his people become part of our everyday experience, then we must be prepared to fulfill our God-given responsibilities, to make the changes necessary in our lives for that to come about. Our friends, there are no shortcuts to a life of spiritual victory and true blessedness. And the only life that God has promised to truly bless in his word is a life of unreserved obedience to his revealed will. And it's the one who is out and out for God then who will enjoy most of his smile. For you see, it is the upright who will have good things in possession, God says in the book of Proverbs. For he will give them grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And we all need to ask ourselves then, as we progress into this book, what adjustments is God perhaps calling us to make in our lives, or in our daily walk or practices, in order for God to put forth his power and bring us into the full enjoyment of our spiritual inheritance? For as we read in chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles, wonderful words. The eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of who? Those whose heart is loyal to him. And our great concern in life then should be to be fully loyal to the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus, in all of the details of our lives. Just as the people of Israel were called to be to their captain and leader Joshua here. But I want you to see in the last place that the call of Joshua to the people of Israel, it was also a call for wholehearted loyalty to the Lord and to himself as their newly appointed leader. For look with me at how they respond to his call to them to take action and follow his directives. They answer him with one voice in verses 16 to 18 saying, "All that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. And whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." And friends, that is the kind of undivided loyalty and commitment that God demands of all of his people. Doesn't expect them to ask for concessions when it comes to his will, or a life on easy street, where they're free to obey his orders if they feel like it, or if it's convenient, or simply because of what they can get out of it. Not a bit of it. And we don't expect that in any other walk of life where there's a chain of command. God expects us to see our obedience to him as a matter of life or death. And he won't settle for anything less than wholehearted and undivided loyalty to his will as being acceptable in his sight then. And friends, why should he? For he's given everything he possibly could for us. And has he not the right to expect that we would now do the same in return? And friends, we need to understand God detests a lukewarm attitude or spirit in his people. Detests a heart that is divided. Remember what the Lord Jesus commanded the angel to say to the church of the Laodiceans in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. He said to them, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. And so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." And friends, we need to take seriously then the call of our Joshua, the Lord Jesus, to give ourselves without reserve to him. For anything less than that only grieves his heart, robs him of the glory he deserves. And at the end of the day, the only one who will lose out is the person in question. As James reminds us in the opening chapter of his epistle, mark these words: "Those who are double-minded will be unstable in all their ways." He says they'll be like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed about by the wind. They'll be all over the place. And he says, "Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." And friends, that's God's own word in the matter. Those are not my words. Because it is only a life of sworn allegiance, total surrender to God and Christ alone, that he has promised to bless. The psalmist reminds us he satisfies the longing soul, fills the hungry soul with goodness. He enriches with every spiritual blessing the lives of those who long after him, simply cannot live without his favor and smile. And if you and I are intent then on pressing deeper and deeper into the kingdom of God, then there must be a total, an absolute surrender of every area of life to the will of God, to his divine leadership in Christ through the Spirit. For anything less than that, it will only hinder the work of God in your life and mine, prevent us from experiencing all that God is willing to give. And child of God, here I remind you in closing then, that you are not your own. You belong to Jesus Christ, for you were bought at a price by him. And therefore your sole responsibility and mine, and our greatest joy it ought to be, to now glorify God in our body and in our spirit which are his. And if that's not where you and I are at in our walk with God today, then I call upon you out of love for you, as one who has been appointed as an ambassador of my Lord and King, to speak the truth to you with all authority, like Joshua was, to put away whatever it is that is holding you back from following the Lord fully, observing to do all that he requires of you. And I call upon you to do it today, to do it without reserve. For that is the only way you're ever going to go forward with God, to advance spiritually, to enter into the good of your spiritual inheritance. And friends, that's what I desire for you more than anything else. I don't want you to miss out on God's blessing on your life. And that's what God wants for you. But he will not give it to you on any terms other than his own. And so as we look out here on the promised land opening up before the children of Israel, look at the glorious possibilities that are open to us in our own lives, knowing God in an ever-increasing measure, let us continue to take to heart the lessons that God has left on record for us in this book. Let us be strong and of good courage to go forward in faith and obedience to our great God, following the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus, wherever he leads us, and in all that he calls us to do. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we pray that you would open our eyes to see the glorious possibilities that are before us in your word, of an ever deepening knowledge of you and ever in closer walk with you. It is possible to grow up into Christ in all things, to learn more and more of the height, the breadth, the depth, the width of your love and the fullness that is in you to enable us to live a victorious Christian life. We do pray, Lord, that none of us would listen to the lies of the devil, or that we would fail to take to heart your word, that we would misinterpret it, that we would resign ourselves to believing that sin is inevitable for any one of us, that we would see, yes, we're not yet made perfect, but we are called to press forward, to grow, to increase, to mature, to make advances in our walk with you, that you give us the grace. You will give us all that you call us to do your bidding in all things. And we pray then, Lord, that we would live with the mind of a conqueror, that we would go forth conquering and to conquer, to overcome every enemy who rises up against us in the power of your grace and the strength of your spirit. And we pray, Lord, that we would remove out of our lives anything that impedes the life of the Spirit within us, from him manifesting his power and strength on our behalf. And we do pray then that we would be those who take to heart the injunction that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts and the desires of the flesh. And we pray then that we would be in tune with your Spirit, that we would be of one mind and one will with him, that we would know his voice, that we would love his presence, that we would do nothing to quench or hurt or offend him. But we do pray, Lord, that he would be our closest friend in life, that he would lead us to Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, that we would follow behind him in whatever rank we've been placed, And we do pray, Lord, that we would see our enemies dead at our feet, that we would be ever pressing into the kingdom. And we do ask, Lord, you would give us all that we need to that end, and help us to be all that we're called to be. Help us to become all that we can be. And we do pray that you would bless your word, apply it with convicting power to all of our hearts, and lead all of us forward in the way of salvation, we ask. Be with us throughout this day. Bless us later this afternoon also, we ask. And we pray it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.